That's right. This is the Shades of Blue soccer podcast, and our football team has us drinking very hard this week. I'm Cody Bradley, alongside Thad Bell. What's going on, Thad?
Just excited to be here and back to podcasting, Cody. It's been a while.
Podcasting once again. And we have a lot to talk about, is why we're doing this. We're going to cover Gold Cup win. We've got the Dwyer trade to discuss, where that leaves us. We got Ike training again. We have a new player built into all of this. There's just so much to talk about. So let's get to it. Before we get to Dom, we're going to go with the Gold Cup glory last night. What'd you think of the win?
It's good. Obviously, Jamaica's not the toughest team in the world, but they were obviously one of the better teams in this Gold Cup. They've not been too bad. Probably fortunate that they knocked the keeper out.
Yeah, I'm picking up on your hesitancy, and I'm the same way. It's hard to be too excited about beating Jamaica.
It's hard to be too excited about beating Jamaica, for one. It's hard to be excited about a B team beating a B level CONCACAF team.
Right.
They're a B plus CONCACAF team. Let's give them that. But they're not even qualifying, so they're not the toughest one. But they were the one that was able to bring a full squad, pretty much.
Yeah, and they just seem to have a knack for getting to the final of this tournament all of a sudden.
Like, it's the one that they can care about.
Right.
They're not competing.
It's their World Cup, exactly. Yeah. It's a valid point. And it was nice to see our boys hoisting another trophy, and a beautiful trophy at that. It's good to see them out on the national stage, or the international stage. Yes.
And how do you think, for our guys, how do you think Zusi, Beasler, and Dwyer did in their performances?
I mean, you got to think they all did their job well enough. It's old news now, but I was still definitely a little surprised to see Dwyer get sent home. But, you got to think he did everything he possibly could have to get considered for the World Cup next time around. And, it's hard to tell where Zusi and Beasler stand really in the depth chart now with this B team, like you said. But, hey, they did their job. We got to the final. We won it. And, I mean, you gotta be pretty happy with them, I guess.
I would have to say if Arena was putting the Russia team together today, Beasler and Zusi would be on the 23-man roster or very close to it.
Yeah, I don't even necessarily know that I agree with that, but yes, I agree that that is where Arena places them for sure. I can see that definitely.
Well, which of those two would you not put on there?
I mean, I would put them on there, but I can understand people screaming at or not being happy with Zusi as a fullback on our, to Zusi as a fullback to play against Germany is a bit of a daunting thought. Like, he does wonderfully in MLS, and I love every part of it, and it's made Sporting great, but that's a little scary thinking of like that back line against some of the best teams in the world.
And I can understand that. And I like the distinction you made between him playing for Sporting and playing the Germanys of the world.
Right.
Zusi has actually been really, really good as a right back for Sporting. I mean, there's been a couple moments here and there, and he's covered by having Ike back there a few times.
Yes.
But he's been really good, and he's worked well going forward and stuff like that. At the international level, he's been not bad. But not
bad is the proper word.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some Zeus, but I would not be totally happy if he was the best right back that America had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's others out there. There's guys in Europe that will probably take that spot and knock him down anyway. Now, Beasler, right, on the other hand, I think that when he's at his best, I think that this season is probably his best MLS season in like 3 years.
Yeah. Probably, yeah, definitely.
Before he went to the World Cup, to be honest. He even wasn't like as solid at the international level as I think he was before the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And, not that I don't want to put them on the national team. It's just sometimes I can't get beyond the fact that it's, Beisler's starting for the national team at center back, and he's not even the best center back on his own club team. It's all very confusing to me. He does very good for the national team, and they're both veterans now at this point that they know what's required of them. They're not going to be scared of a big competition like that, but I mean, come on. All of America, all of Americans all over the world, like, I just feel like we can probably find someone better.
Well, like you said, he's not even the best center back on Sporting, but
Right.
the best center back on Sporting this year has been so injury prone over the last few years that I mean, even Sporting fans don't want to say, "Oh yeah,
Right.
we're relying on Ike this year."
Yeah. Definitely don't send him away.
And knowing history with injuries, we don't want to send him away and have him get injured playing, some
Yeah.
cheap Costa Rican. I'm not trying to, bath
Yeah.
off Costa Rica, but
But
just some cheap shot.
that is where we get elbows and who what country was it? It was Costa Rica that got Beisler the red card. The guy like walked into him and fell over and Beisler got
Think
a
so.
red card for that.
I'd be lying if I said that for sure,
It
but
was Costa Rica or one of those countries.
yeah. yeah, well, it was a yellow, and it was so he was not able to
Oh
play the
yeah.
next game for yellow
Right.
accumulation.
And it was against Mexico too.
Yep.
Been his first Mexico game. Anyway. Yes, he may not be the best on his own team, but if he, this kind of tournament for him was perfect, as in, guys like John Brooks and Jeff Cameron and some others weren't around, and he did exactly what he had to do, and he's a veteran and knows what Bruce wants of him. So, he did everything he could have been asked of.
And he made some great plays in this tournament too. That he made several saving tackles. That and let me add this too. When I've said that this may not have been Beisler's best performance at the international level, it also to me was his weakest with the left back next to him, because
Right.
I know that some other people are pretty high on Villafana, but I really don't think that he's performed well there. He went up the field pretty quickly, but to be honest, I'd almost rather have DeMarcus Beasley back there,
Yeah.
even though the guy's
The
like 70
veteran
years old at this
presence.
point.
At least 70, some 70 something.
So I think that hampered Beisler a little bit too, having Villafana next to him and having to recover. And it may have thrown off him and Omar a wee bit a couple times. And then quite honestly, having Zusi on the flip side of it, I think he's actually better than Villafana defensively. Maybe that's a little,
Amazingly.
yeah, maybe that's a little hometown prejudice there, but
I can see it.
I do think he was better defensively than Villafana, and he wasn't at the best outside back that we could have had back there either. So in both cases, the center backs were a little bit under extra pressure.
I can see that. But yeah, there were, like you said, Beisler had plenty of big moments. He failed to do it for the last several years, that instinct of his to step up before the pass can get to the back line and intercept a pass. I saw that a few times from him, again, a couple times last night. And so he's definitely, like he says, one of his better years. He's back to his old form, and but it's good to hopefully get him back. You said they returned today, right?
Yesterday, Vermees said that they would return on Thursday afternoon. If it had been a East Coast game, to be honest, they probably would have been in training this morning. They would have
Oh,
gone
yeah.
early enough to have been in training, but West Coast, hard to be back by 10 o'clock in the morning. So I expect them in training Friday. We're recording this on Thursday, so if that this morning part threw anybody,
Right, yes,
but
Thursday night.
they should be in training on Friday and available for the Saturday match against Chicago. Question is, will Vermees use them? Is a tired Beisler a better option at center back than what remains for Vermees to choose? Is this the right time to talk about that yet,
Well,
or?
yeah, well, we'll jump into more of that later, but the reason we will hopefully have at least one of them playing is because of the big trade. It's impossible for you to have not have heard about it by now. Dwyer is gone. We have a huge hole in our offense, so we're gonna need everyone we can get on that field. But let's talk about let's hear your reaction to the trade. Initial reaction, let's hear it.
I'm actually pretty okay with it. The we there's a lot to be seen of how this plays out. So I don't want to totally like come down like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever. The
It's
amount
too
of
early.
money, the amount of money they got, record amount, even if he meets not one incentive, it's a record amount by, you know, 50% more or something like that. If he meets the incentives and it's 2.5 times the previous record,
And they're supposed to be very easy.
and my understanding is they're so easy that if he makes an appearance this weekend, they will have met one of them.
Yeah.
And I
One
just,
of them was suiting up. I think I read.
it may, I think it was phrased as it may be as simple as that.
Right.
Nobody knows for sure, but I've kind of heard that same thing. And also, if he suits up next year, that would be like another one.
Okay.
That might trigger the next wave of ham or jam, gam,
Garber
whatever.
Bucks, man. But yeah, it was just, I think that was what it comes down to. It was just simply too good of a deal to pass up, no matter how hard it hurts right now at the current time. Like the fact that we're looking at, we're still in competition for three trophies at the moment. It just, I guess they decided this is gonna be the best deal that they're gonna get in, you know, over the next year and a half before his contract is expired, and that it was obviously not going anywhere with him in the negotiations, which is the part that really makes me hurt. That's the one that really gets me, is that this player wasn't screaming to stay here. We're used to that in Kansas City, man. People come here and they fall in love.
Don't get me. I saw a lot of people say, well, they were disappointed that he obviously wanted out of Kansas City and stuff like that.
I didn't phrase it like that,
No,
but
I'm
yes,
not
I
blaming you. I'm not saying you.
right,
But I
yeah.
saw a lot of people, a lot of fans, Facebook, Twitter, saying things like that. I will defend Dom in that regard. I never got an inkling that he wanted out of Kansas City. I never got an inkling that he wanted to return to his dumbass spiritual home in Orlando or any of that type of
Spiritual
stuff.
home.
In case you don't get that reference, that was from when all the Orlando fans were stalking him before and they actually got a tampering charge.
Adrian Heath. God, that was one of the best catchphrases ever. That will go down in history. Spiritual home.
And I do like when the one phrase on the article was, you know, Orlando's aggressively pursuing Dwyer. And I said, well, at least they stopped passively aggressive pursuing him. But the amount of money they got, the amount of things that they can do with that. Now, here's the trick. I mean, even let's just say they don't get one incentive, just the straight up cash that they got guaranteed is a huge amount of money. And it's things that they can do to bring in other players, keep players, stuff like that. But they have to be the right moves to make this a worthwhile deal. If they bring in unnamed Hungarian striker and he comes in and scores 3 goals over 2 years, that's a bust. You know what I mean?
That Hungarian striker has a name, though.
I was just this was generic. This was a generic Hungarian striker. If they, you know, do a long-term contract with Ike, for example, and you know, love him, but he goes down and doesn't play again for 3 years. It's a bust. It's those things that they have to make the right moves that make it worthwhile.
Well, and we should probably talk about how that this. You know, we've sold players for more than 1.6 million before, but that this is in MLS play money and thus is more valuable than, you know, several million in cash from a team overseas.
That is a point, really good point, Cody. Because again, I've seen a lot of fans like, "Oh, this was just a cash grab. The owners are greedy and cheap and all this." This is actually the anti owners being cheap and greedy because if they could have sold him for $3 million to Olympiacos last year, and the owners would have pocketed
Right in their pocket.
a million, at least 1.25 million, 1.25 million, something like that, out of that deal. They could have used to build new fields or do something with the academy or something like that, but they could not have put it back into player money. They could have only put 650,000 the way the MLS budget salary structure transfers and all that works. And should we do the really 30-second primer on this?
Well, yeah, hey, go for it if you want.
Okay. If a MLS team sells a player outside of MLS, MLS will take a third off the top, although there's some variable numbers depending on the amount of years and type of player, homegrown player, DP, etc. But let's just say randomly, generically, they'll take a third off the top. So if you sell a player for $3 million to Olympiacos, MLS gets $1 million of it. The $2 million that's left, you can only apply a max of $650,000 of that to general allocation money. Max. They don't have to apply all of it, but that's the max that they could apply. So the organization would get the remaining $1,350,000 that they could build academy, you know, new bleachers out at Swell Park.
Or like also in theory, wouldn't that have been, you know, to like in theory to get a huge name from overseas to come here? Like, I mean, when the Galaxy can pay someone a whole bunch of money, that money does come from the owners. Like, that's where that...
The extra part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so in theory, they would still have that money for that, but we know that they're not ever going to do something like that for...
And actually, we don't know that for sure, because my understanding is the owners have told Vermees multiple times, you need to spend more money.
Yeah, we have heard that come up a couple times, that they do request him to start spending.
So, but the thing with Vermees is, I don't want to call him cheap, but he's frugal. He doesn't want to overpay.
Trader Pete.
He's
Hashtag Trader Pete.
You know, Moneyball sometimes gets a bad name, and I don't want to say exactly what he's doing as Moneyball, but the premise is, you know, buy low, sell high. That's, you know, what they did with Dwyer. They sold it as high as they could probably get away with doing and getting the most benefit from it. But going back to the amount they got, they're guaranteed of $900,000 that they can apply to players. They have to apply to players in some way, shape, or form, or the TAM they could actually end up losing if they don't apply it within a certain amount of time. But the general allocation money stays until they use
it. Yeah. Well, one very simple way, I'm not entirely sure how accurate it is, but a simple way that Vermees described it on 810 that day was like, he may have just been keeping it very general, but he was just very simply like, it may not seem like that much money, but it basically doubles, if not triples, our salary cap. It's like how he's like looking at it in a certain way. He may have just been doing that to pander to the baseball and football fans of 810, but I was like, all right, I can at least use that a little bit for my less soccery friends.
Yeah, it definitely increases the salary cap or salary budget.
Yeah, it's not the cap, but
yeah, it's kind of one of those weird things. Like, some people will argue with you if you call it a salary cap. But
yeah,
it's again, MLS is one of the weirdest leagues in the world in order of how you figure out how much money you have to spend on what kind of player. Roster spots 1 through 20 versus roster spots 21 through 30 versus homegrown players versus designated players. Players that you buy their salaries down so they fit into the salary cap, the max player allotment, all this type of stuff. So it's so convoluted.
Right.
I don't envy any MLS GM technical director at all.
Okay, so August 9 is when the window closes, and also the Open Cup semifinal match. Will Vermees bring someone in before August 9th?
You want odds?
Yes, give me odds.
I will say 60-40, he brings in somebody.
Okay, and do you have a person in mind, a player in mind when you say that?
Two players.
Okay.
And they've both been mentioned elsewhere. Christian Namath.
And so the snag news that came out earlier today, that doesn't bother you at all, that he seems to be in a dispute with his team, that they owe him money? Is that what I'm... It looks like they owe... The Qatari team owes him money, and they won't leave until they pay them, is what I took that as.
Yeah, I don't understand that, quite honestly. If the team owes him money, how does he force them to pay them by saying, I'm not going to go someplace else?
Yeah, by not... Yeah, yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is there some like law in Qatar that if you leave the country, you can't get money from anyone in that country anymore, or what?
Well, there's a lot of weird laws there. But my understanding is actually he's been out of the country. He wasn't even there.
Okay.
Again, this comes from people that are, you know, the Instagram stalkers, not... that's... You know,
they're the real journalists these days.
Yeah, pretty much. that's as real news as you can get.
Yeah, right.
I posted I was in Hungary, so anyway, it's my understanding he's not there, or at least wasn't at least sometime very recently. So I don't know what. I would love to know, and I'm going to try to find out more the next time I talk to Vermees. But quite honestly, when I spoke to him Wednesday, he was very non-wanting to talk about any of that. Probably because he was unhappy with how things were going.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, he didn't want to talk about any of that, or he didn't want to like speak like, "Oh, we're trying to replace Dom." He,
right. You know,
like, shut that conversation down really fast.
Well, he did seem to be, you know, in any quote you can find, he does make sure to say in there, you know, it might, like, will it be in this window or not? So he, it's definitely at least on his mind that Shallowy and Rubio and Sunni are going to have to step up at some point this year.
Blessing. Porter.
Blessing. He's got a cavalry, but it's
unproven.
Unproven. Now, I can totally 100% see, like, you know, I'm all about Shallowy, and he's looked great in every chance we've given him this year. So it is entirely possible we fail to sign someone, and then Shallowy whips out 15 goals in the second half of the season.
Possible. Keep in mind that he will probably be a left winger, not a center forward, as he's playing.
But who's more center forward than him? I guess Sunni.
Rubio. Blessing. Porter.
Blessing is more center forward than Shallowy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite honestly, I think he would be better at center forward than Shallowy at this point. Shallowy is... He likes being a winger. I mean, actually, I did an interview with him at the beginning of the year before the season started. He talked about how he liked to be... He knew he wasn't a center forward. I think he like wants to grow into that, quite honestly. But he knows he's not. He knows he's not very strong, and he likes playing with.
Yeah, he's skinny. He's all get out still.
I mean, he's still bigger than Blessing, but Blessing doesn't have fear.
Yeah, that's true. And he just doesn't care about his body. I haven't decided which one of those it is.
I think when you're only about 55 pounds of feather, he can bounce a lot easier.
Exactly.
You know, some of us older guys. But Shallowy likes being on the wing. He likes having a sideline to basically have one side of him protected. But
he likes to
cut in.
Cut in, exactly. Like the other Hungarian that we've known here.
And see, it's kind of funny because I saw people saying, "Oh, if we go get Namath, he's a left wing. That doesn't solve our center forward problem." No, Namath is a center forward.
Yeah.
For me, he's moved to left wing because he needed that. I mean, he wasn't going to move Dom.
Because Dom couldn't play anywhere else, exactly.
Gerso could play center forward if you wanted him to. Madranda could play center forward if you wanted him to.
Right.
Dom is probably the least possible center forward playing forward that we had. I mean, least wing
winger,
playing.
Yeah.
Sorry, least wing playing forward that we had. Where almost any of the rest of the guys can at least... That's like Porter, when we saw him last year... At center forward, I thought he looked actually halfway decent.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't like, wow, let's replace Dom with him, but he didn't look too bad as a villain.
And he's pretty clever.
But when you put him on put him at a right wing, I thought he sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, Cameron.
I do want to see more Shallowy this year, though.
Oh, me too.
I'm all in on him, and if, I'm not getting my hopes up. I like 60-40. I like that. I can get behind that, but I'm not getting my hopes up that somebody will get brought in here. And that means more time for Shallowy on the field, and we also haven't, I know we fell out of first because Dallas started playing more games, but we're still at the top of the table and Dom hasn't scored a goal for us in MLS hasn't scored a goal in MLS since the beginning of May, and they're still up there towards the top of the table. But that's not to say it's all right. We'll be all right without Dom. He didn't do anything for us. But
And again, keep in mind that Rubio has very few MLS games under his belt. He's coming back off of injury. When he He has a far better first touch most of the time than Dom does.
Yes.
He can involve the other forwards and midfielders better. You might see, if Rubio's playing more, you might see more goal production or shots from Failhaber, Espinoza, Madranda.
That's true.
You will see probably better passes out to Gerso, Blessing, Shallowy, things like that. You might see Rubio much less as a goal scorer, as he'll put in a few and get a
Yeah.
few assists, where most of Dom's assists were probably, passes of less than 10 feet.
And I kind of hate to say it, but it seems like Rubio and his Europeanness, he will not miss the sitters that Dom did. He might not create the miraculous goal out of nothing like Dom did, but Dom missed an insane amount of goals that would have just gone in had he let it hit him, kind of thing. And I think Rubio will eat up goals in that regard if we can just give him service right there in front of the goal. I think he's gonna be the shot conversion rate will probably be a little bit higher.
And one of the things that I'm trying to like formulate to write into an article, so this is going to be kind of like a test throw out there, is at the beginning of the year, one of the things was that this is SKC 2.0, right? This is the better SKC. More possession, more youth, more speed, all that type of stuff. With getting Illy in there, the possession is better than when Mustafar was playing there. No offense to Mustafar, he's a good D mid, but that's not the
But
same.
not Ilya.
The Illy is the pivot. He makes so many insane amount of passes. If you look, the defense and the D mid this year all have insanely high passing completion rates. Ellis, Opara, Beisler, Zusi, Seth, Palmer Brown, Ilya. Ilya. I always
Ilya,
say
I
that wrong.
love that name.
Anyway, they all have really great passing success. Now, here the question is, what's the Achilles heel, the kryptonite to Sporting is always a team that bunkers, right? Sits behind. And just bunkers in and tries to counter. Well, Dom has never been the greatest at breaking those down. He's usually a little bit better when he has a little room to work with, not packed into, four, eight defenders.
If he's not getting calls that evening, then we don't break a bunkering team down.
Right. Well, Rubio might be the guy who they can pass into. He hold the ball, play it back out to Benny, to Gerso, Shallowy, etc.,
Which is
Blessing.
where a slightly better first touch comes into play, like you
Right.
mentioned.
So this may be in the long run, and if they get a player like Namath or another European who can play with their back to the goal and hold the ball better, and even if you look at Swope Park, the way they've been playing a lot this year, Moloto has been
Loto.
playing the center forward. He's not a center forward. He's more of a false nine, where he gets the ball and he scored two or three goals at this point. He's had some really good games, but really he's more of a guy that's helping create and drop it back to midfielders, drop it out to the wingers. Well, if you have some guy like that, and I've almost wondered if that's been kind of a test bed for, does the Sporting way work with the
Yeah.
false nine?
Yeah. Huh. That is supposed to be their testing grounds, the Rangers are.
So can Rubio be that? Could Namath be that? Could another player that's out there that we don't know who they are?
Well, you did say earlier that you thought there were two players. One of them was Nemo. Now, I know you hear things and you know stuff, and so you said two players. I gotta clarify if there's like a certain player or something you've heard.
No,
That
just the same thing everybody else would have heard would have been Kai. I mean, and people talking
okay,
about that.
right.
I think Kai would be a short-term deal. Not, I love Kai. He's a great guy. We were kind of not like best buds when he was here,
Who didn't love
but
Kai, right?
he was. I've helped him out outside of soccer doing things.
But he's had some issues since leaving the team. He's
He's had some issues before he was with
well,
Sporting. He
yeah.
has issues since he left Sporting.
Yeah.
Sporting is really the only place that,
All was well.
and to be honest, there were issues even when he was here, but Vermees kept him down. Vermees handled it well.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. This club handled it better than I think some of the other ones did.
I think Peter has a good form of tough love on these players, like, because and I'll tell a story. I've told this before on a previous podcast. If you look back to when Kai first came here, and Peter wanted to use him as a winger, he didn't want to be a winger. He wanted to be a center forward. Well, if you look at how he played, he would start on the wing, but all of a sudden he would be in the center of the field all the time. Well, Peter benched him one game. I think it was against Dallas, and all the fans are like, well, what, you know, that's so stupid. He's the best player. He scored goals and et cetera, right? Well, he then brought him in like towards the end of the game. And what did he do? He left his spot, went into the center spot, scored a goal. Everybody's like, see, Peter, you're so stupid,
All right,
right?
yeah.
Well, Peter needed wingers. He didn't need center forwards. So next game, Kai didn't start again. Now I'm reading some of this into it and some of what I've been kind of told. So, but anyway, he didn't start him the next game. Again, all the fans were like, ah, oh, Vermees, you're so stupid, you know? Well, when Kai got the message that no matter what you do, you have to play our way or you're going to sit on the bench, he started playing the wing spot and still scoring goals and now being able to cross the ball in to, you know, the CJs and people like that that were back then, Bravo or whoever it was, but not Bravo, but whoever was the center forward most of the time back then. And they were working pretty good. He used that tough love, if you want to call it that. Kai learned and played and was really successful and got the attention of going to Europe.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, as much as I loved him and absolutely hated to have him leave, it's like he there really has been some very weird things from him. You know, the problem with Higuain and Columbus, and it just seems like an ordeal to bring him back at this time. And also, I mean, he's not the best striker in MLS anymore.
Well, Kai's a guy I think who plays the best when he feels love.
Yeah, that's true.
When
And
he
he'd get
was,
plenty of that here.
he would get the love from the fans. If he went out and scored a goal in his first couple games, you know, it would just be an outpouring of love, welcome back, everything, right? And I think if he came back, because Peter has wingers now, you know, Gerso, Latif can play there, Shalawi can play there, Lobato can play there. Probably talk about him more later, but all these players that can play there, maybe Kai actually plays center forward and provides some height,
Yes, that's there it
heading
is.
ability that hasn't been as. Dom was surprisingly good header for a guy who was like 5'2". I mean, 5'10", 5'9", whatever he
Yeah.
is. I was joking about 5'2", but
Only a little.
if you have any complaints about my jokes, send them to Cody. But he would be that guy's capable of doing that. Do I think he's most likely to be brought in? No. But is he in that probably top two most likely at this point? Yeah, because I think, to be honest, I think Peter was probably almost counting on getting Namath back. And with the little snag there, I think I do think they'll probably get it resolved, which is why I say 60-40.
Okay. I did want to. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was going to make you definitively say if you thought it was going to be Namath or happen or not.
Yeah, no, I do think I do think Namath will be back at this point. Again, it's better than even odds, 60-40, whatever number you want to put to it. I just don't get the whole problem, like, you know, like we talked about. Can't leave Cutter, but some kind of deal could be worked out, I'm sure. You know, they could
Yeah.
sic the sporting lawyers on El Garafi.
Whatever the heck the name of that team is. Well, so do you think he will come back in the same form? He hasn't. Well, he scored like 4 or 5 goals last year. Can he come back and be as dominant?
Good question. If you, I went back and looked. I think he scored 6 goals for them this last
Oh, okay.
season, and like maybe 10 the year before. But they were such a horrible team. I mean, it was like, I think
Yeah, they're
USL
very
teams would have
bad.
beat. I think most USL teams would beat those
Oh, yeah.
leagues.
Okay, but yeah, that's For sure, he didn't have the teammates to support him, but also he dribbled through the Portland defense for that goal like it was absolutely nothing. Why can't he do that against, like you said, USL, if that level teams?
Motivation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Did you look at any of the clips from like when he scored?
Yeah. And all four people in the stands?
Yeah. I mean, there was
Yeah.
I'll give him credit. There's probably four people in each set of stands, but
Yeah,
yeah, there
yeah.
were nobody there.
And it looked like it was just the rich sheiks that were just like watching their products on the field is like all it was.
It's like there's been more people watching my daughter's game.
Yeah.
So it's, there's motivation, there's, potentially homesickness or happiness with the lifestyle. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Qatar because I know people that have lived there and actually liked it, but there's a lot of reasons people wouldn't too.
Yeah. Okay, well, if that happens, we can talk about it then. But we are without Dom right now, and we have a bit of a hole. So where does this leave us with Chicago this weekend?
Well, there's the hole of Dom, but there's also the Gerso hole.
Exactly. The Gerso hole, and then if Zusi and Beisler aren't back yet. It's not looking good. That's what we meant by our football team has us drinking. We're drinking hard this week.
Well, it has us drinking every week. It's either happiness or
Yeah.
sadness or worry or
But happy
overconfidence.
drinking is good. First place drinking is pleasant. And the drinking this week was just me yelling at my roommate. So.
Which and clarify, Gerso is suspended this week for having cleated or whatever you want to
Can't
say.
see us, but we're putting quotes around cleated. Cleated, whoever that was. I can't even remember who that was.
Salt Lake player. They probably deserve
An
it.
unknown salty Salt Lake player.
And Ilya was fined again for hands to face slash neck area. And that was the most mild, non-violent. It was like
It was the freeze frame is what did him in. The freeze frame where it just looked like he was solidly choking him for the whole time.
no, that was the previous one. This is the
Oh,
second
for
one.
the oh yeah. Oh, the second one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That was absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, the first one was definitely wrong. Not going to defend that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Although, again, I don't know so much a choke as a get away from me
Yeah,
thing.
exactly. As a shove in the neck.
Because
Not that that's any better, but
Inewu, like, kind of clubbed him in the back of the head. If
yeah,
you catch the previous clip,
it was a defense.
it was a definite reaction. So it was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. But this the one that at Salt Lake,
Yeah.
literally like the guy went down. I think he was mad at like the tackle or something, and he went over and like put his hand literally like baby touched him, and walked away. And I think because of the focus that Pecky's whining,
Exactly.
I mean vocal outburst,
The
I
whiny, I'll
shouldn't.
say it, the whiny outburst afterwards. He asked for it and it worked.
I won't even like give it that because Vermees comes out and complains about refs and
Yeah.
non-calls and stuff like that. So
It really wasn't whiny, but that was beautiful. The handing out of screenshots. Oh my gosh, I loved it. That was gold.
I do expect that from Vermees from now on.
Yeah.
Robo,
Oh,
hand those
the
out.
first chance he gets, let Robo hand these out, please. Yes, definitely. But so we have who's gonna start for, let's just go position by position. How about we try this?
Sure.
What about on the, I guess, right wing is where Gerso has settled in. Who do we deploy on the right for Gerso?
My guess would be the all position utility guy of Madrid.
Heck yeah. I like that.
You could put Blessing over there and Shallowy on the left, but my guess will be Madranda on the right, Blessing on the left. So we'll have short and fast on the wing.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Madranda knows Vermees the best, is probably the most trusted from him from a lot of those guys that he could deploy. So I think we can probably assume he'll be on one of those wings.
Vermees could like totally pull a Vermees and like throw something weird out there, like some guy named
his
Zusi
his
playing right
that's
wing.
his
So
favorite thing to do. I think he just does that to make anyone trying to guess his lineups look ridiculous.
Like once every like six games, it has to like throw something really weird out
Yeah. But as expected, Latif was starting that one game, you know, as expected, but whatever. So we got, what about on the left? So we got Latif gonna play on the left wing, probably.
That would be my guess.
Okay, and then how confident are you? We talked a little bit about this, but how confident are you in Zusi and Beisler coming back for support?
Well,
Well, they are
confident they'll
back, but
be
yeah.
there. Probably on the bench, if not starting. Really, I mean, again, it's kind of 50-50 to me because what, and the Vermees answer will be, we have to evaluate them after training and
Right,
see where they're
always.
at. And I understand that. It just makes it hard for us to make our guesses. When they get back today, tomorrow they'll probably do a light training. Just because of the travel,
Right.
and they'll probably have the trainers look at them and see if they are, physically ready to respond. A lot of people like complain about the Vermees overplaying guys or whatever. It's like so scientific now; they can see how these guys are performing in practice
Yeah.
to see if they're ready to come back for, full 90s or 60 minutes or whatever.
Well, I'm full on hoping for Beisler because that would leave us with Kevin Ellis and EPB as the starting center back duo, correct? With Ike still working his way back. Which we hadn't talked about that. Yes, Ike was returning to training today. We got to see video of that. That was very good to see.
Actually, he returned earlier this week.
Well, yeah, video today is what we got to prove. We got proof today.
Come on, my tweets are proof, man.
That's, oh yeah, that's. But that was also, he was like on the side earlier in the week, right?
No, he was in training.
He was. Okay.
They weren't doing like heavy contact in the training, but they were doing full,
Okay.
like small-sided games and stuff. I mean, so he literally could have taken a shot to the head, and he was out
Yeah.
there. I asked one of the trainers how he was doing, and they said he's going through the protocol. I mean, that's like the only, that's the answer now.
Yeah.
Going through the protocol.
Well,
But he looked good. He looked fine. From what I've heard, he was, while it was a level 3 concussion or whatever that, however they phrase it, level 3 concussion.
I don't, do they actually phrase him like that anymore? I know they said that, but I've heard that doctors don't even do that. It's all case by case now.
Well, I know the recovery is all case by case.
Okay.
Level 1, 2, and 3 really refers more to like how long you're out, or
And three is the worst.
because
It
he
did look
was,
bad.
yeah, he was out. I mean, obviously he was out from the moment he got kicked in the head. He fell,
Before the ground.
and what I heard was he was like having little seizure type motions while he was on the ground,
Yeah, I could see it from the cauldron.
which is not uncommon for that high of a level of a concussion. You just get fall and hit your head on the wall. You're not probably gonna, that's
Right.
not gonna happen. But so anyway, it was a serious concussion, but everybody responds differently, and it does. I mean, some guys can get the worst concussion and be ready literally, a couple days later. And some guys can have a lighter concussion, but take months to get themselves back to normal.
So it's safe to say that Ike's body has just recovered from so many injuries that he can just snap his fingers and be fine from a concussion now.
Or his brain's really solid.
Yeah.
But remember, like, the game, was it DC or New York? Zusi and Sinovic both got concussions out
Oh
of that
yeah,
game.
in one game.
And Zusi kept playing, if I remember right.
And Seth was out for like months, like the whole season almost, or something like
But
that.
Zusi was supposed to start the next game,
Yeah.
and he was fine up until he was like starting warm-ups
Was a late
out at
scratch.
Sporting Park, and Children's Mercy Park. And I think the combination of lights, noise, and physical activity all of a sudden said, "Hey, now I've got a
Yeah,
problem."
yeah.
And then he was able to come back fairly quickly. Seth took a while before he was able to come back, and then I don't think he was himself till the next year.
Yeah, no,
And
yeah.
really, I think this year he's back to himself, and I believe with Seth he had to go through treatment for like seeing the same way again, like
Yeah.
his eyes didn't, his eyes needed retraining in some way, shape, or form.
Yikes. So yeah, so I think we're if not Beisler, we're gonna have to rely on Kevin Ellis and EPB, which I'm not talking crap about Kevin Ellis, but he's not the reason that this defense has been so good all year.
No, he's not. But then again, neither is EPB.
Yeah, but EPB's looked very good. At least I can find solace in that he's looked very good
Yes.
in his games so far.
That's after the last game at home, talked to a couple of the players and like Tim, and I forget who else I asked, but they were both just saying about how EPB has unlimited ceiling. You know, it's like they don't know how high he can go play.
Sad that we'll never get to see
You
it.
never know. There's Dom Dwyer money
We
now.
do have the Dom money. Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. The Eric Palmer Brown situation.
Well, and again, we can take a couple minutes because I know again that's the things I've seen fans complain about, like EPB never played. Why is Ramiz not letting him play? Blah blah blah. But there's two or three things to this. One, he went with the U20s, CONCACAF qualifying. You know, won the CONCACAF, won CONCACAF qualifying to go to the U20 World Cup, but he was hurt out of that when he came back, and now he has to get back into. You know, let that heal. There's no need to rush him because they have Beisler and Opara playing so well, and you have Ellis as a competent backup. There's no reason to rush him back. And then when he was healthy, he got time with Swope Park to make sure he got fully game fit. Again, goes off to the U20 World Cup. They get knocked out by, was it Venezuela? But he was injured in the early part of that game, if I remember correctly. But he was injured in that game, one way or the other. But I think it was early. And comes back, and again he has to sit for a while to get
Yeah, back in form.
foot injury fixed or healed. And then when he comes back from that, well, pretty much the timing was perfect for him to step in and start for Sporting again, or start for Sporting. So it wasn't like Vermees was like, ah, man, I'm just not going to start this guy. You know, he did have the quandary like, would I replace Beisler or would I replace Opara in a pair that's been working so good when they're out there. So again, fans, and I understand it. I mean, I want to see him play too, and I would like to get to a point where, you know, they just like, okay, today it's EPB and Opara, tomorrow it's EPB and Beisler, the next day it's Beisler and Opara, and you just rotate them through so they all get a little rest.
And if he's gonna play like he has been playing, then yeah. I think the fan frustration though comes from not just this year, but that we've had this international starlet, and the last like three games are the most we've seen of him his entire career here, and it's could very well come to an end. I think it's, but like you said, it the re like w did you want him to start over Ike and Beisler this whole time?
And one of the reasons he is so good is because he wasn't here last year. He was off with Porto, right? Portugal. And you know, they win the league for the B teams. He gets a lot of experience. Gets a you know.
I think that did him very well.
Yeah, and he grew up. He said he didn't get any bigger, but
He
I
looks
swear he got
bigger.
bigger.
He looks bigger.
You know, but he was 18 when he left. 20 now, right? So he's matured. He's ready to start at MLS,
Has
but
he
he
not
wasn't
turned
2 years.
twenty? I just saw he got listed to the 20 players under 20.
Well, I think he's 20.
But maybe it was just to qualify, it had to be this at the beginning of the year or something.
I don't have everybody's birthdays remembered,
Yeah.
memorized.
But yeah, so I think he'll probably get the nod. I'm just hoping that Beisler is gonna be ready to go there next to him.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so too. And again, I'm a big defender of Kevin Ellis, that he's a very competent backup. I don't want to see him starting all the time in for Sporting, he's started long stretches and did fine.
Yeah.
It's,
How about this back line? How about Kevin Ellis as a right back, Beisler as a center back, EPB as a center back, and Seth as the left back, and just a full homegrown Kansas City back line.
I think it would be kind of cool in that regard.
Would be the only thing awesome about it was this, that we could say that.
Well, And again, I see lots of people say Ellis is an outside back because he's short. He plays better at center back.
He does seem to, yeah. It, in my head, he seems like he should be a right back, but yeah, he on the bottom line is that he's always played better as a center back.
Yeah, I think because I do think when they first got him, they were trying him at outside back.
He played there a lot. Remember, he scored that goal against Cruz Azul in the Champions League from the right back spot, and that's where, man, we thought he was just sky was the limit. He was our right back.
Yeah, well,
that failed. okay, but so we were talking about forwards earlier. We didn't talk about Lobato, which has been kind of buried in the craziness of this week. We were talking of who was going to start. His name really was barely even brought up. So does that mean he's not acclimated yet? Vermees doesn't trust him quite yet.
I don't see him starting this game, probably.
Or many games for the future.
Well, and I don't want to say that because you just never know. Like you said, he's not acclimated yet. You know, this is his second week here. He was off for a month or a month and a half or something like that before he came here. And, you know, maybe he jogged or whatever. But I saw him the very first practice he had here, and yeah, his touch wasn't bad, but he was very non-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing some very small-sided games where it was, you know, all about aggression.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much like, okay, the ball came to me. I made a good pass.
Still a little hesitant.
But it seems to have gotten better now, but I haven't seen him, like, you know, crush anybody in practice yet. So we'll see. I mean, he's got skill, and Ilya thought the world of him, that, you know, he would be able to come in and do a ton.
Right.
So I would expect that he will. I mean, I don't. Because I think Ilya knows better than any of us how he can play.
Yeah.
But it's an adjustment. I mean, it's, you know, when you've always played on one side of the world, and now you're on the opposite side of the world, and
yeah,
not understanding the language and, you know.
And the physicality of this league.
Yeah, it's, you know, if he can contribute valuable minutes this year, maybe he'll be an awesome player next year. Maybe he'll be an awesome player this year.
And where will those minutes come from, the majority, you think? The wing? Or in a midfield spot?
Wing or midfield, I think, more. I don't think he wants to play outside back, left back.
Yeah.
He might, you know, might have to get time. But again, you know, we got Sinovic there. We got Pasher, Storm, who can at least provide. Storm's actually, seems like the longer he goes, the more he impresses me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pasher, like, really impressed last year, but he hasn't. Seems like they've fallen back a little bit this year, but I think there's been some travel and some injuries. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, it seems like at the moment, at least, that there's one extra spot there in the attack for him to wiggle into and get some minutes, at least. So I'd like to see him up there at some point.
He could be. They've said he can play like the 8 or the 10. You know, so we could see him at a lot of different spots, kind of like Madranda can pretty much play anywhere.
Yeah, that's what Vermees keeps saying about him. He likes those versatile players. So
really, that's kind of the good thing, is that there's a lot of players that you can pull a guy out and put another guy in there, and you might lose 10% of capability, but that, you know, there, it's not a horrible drop off. I think the worst one right now is still the D mid spot and keeper.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't want to start Dykstra. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's, you know, a decent keeper, but Tim has just been killing it this year.
Yes, he has. The best in the league, and not going to represent the MLS at the All-Star game.
At least not yet.
Why do you say that?
I thought I heard that Fry was hurt at one point.
Oh, really? I didn't even hear this.
This is a few days ago, so I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't looked lately to check that. But if he is hurt, you know, Tim might be a replacement for him.
Huh. That'd be pretty cool. Late swoop, especially since we lost one player to represent us, apparently. I know they don't have to, I don't know, it's different. They don't wear the jerseys, but don't they have a patch of their team?
Yes.
What is that patch going to be for Dom? It's going to be Orlando, I guess, but that just hurts.
He should have two patches.
Yeah, there you go. There's room for that on both arms.
So, he'll wear Orlando. I mean, that's just the way the game works.
Yes.
That's
But
like, it's like a guy who plays for a team for 10 years and goes to another team and retires, goes into the Hall of Fame.
yeah.
That
Yeah.
last year is listed like that was his team, but
Well, a lot of times they have to sign, they'll sign a contract with someone, like a one-day contract so they can retire. Yeah.
which isn't Brad Davis doing that for Houston? Did he do
He
that?
did do that. That sounds familiar.
Like I mean, I saw that he was going to do that. I don't know that I ever saw it actually happen though.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it did, so now I'm going to go look that up.
Well, once I heard about him being back with Houston, you can stop. You can just ignore it.
He's now dead to you again.
Yes, dead to me. So, with our backup lineup this weekend, can they? What? How are we gonna deal with Schweinsteiger and the second place Chicago Fire?
On the positive side, okay, we still have Ilya, Espinoza, Bailhaber in the midfield.
Thank you. Bring everyone back to the happy place. Thank you.
That's the main starting lineup at the midfield, which is where that battle should be most prevalent. You still have Sanovic, you still have Palmer Brown, Saad Abdul-Salam, Ellis. They're all quality guys. So I mean, that's not such a bad thing. My worry is more the offense.
Yes, indeed.
You still have Tim back there at Sporting, at Children's Mercy Park, and so all that's quality. That's all good in that regard. My worry is a little bit more of the attack. I mean, because Latif, scores like 2 goals at a time, but it's several games in between.
Yep.
Madranda has one goal this year.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard finding goals. The top Jirso was two, right? Or the top two are both gone. So, 10 of our, I don't even know how many goals we've scored, but the top two are gone, and probably a third of our total goal scoring is is not gonna be on the field.
I think it's more than a third, quite
Yeah.
honestly. The yeah, because Dursel led, Dom was second. I'm guessing Benny's third. Or
How many does Benny have? Three?
you're the guy with the computer in front of him.
No, I'm trying here. We have scored. Oh, man. We scored 25 goals this year. And Dom had six, and Jirso is at four or five.
No, Jerso was more had more goals than Dom.
Oh, he did? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. Yeah, so. We're at, what are we at? We're at like 12. So yes, almost half of our goals will not be on the field this coming game.
Well, and one way you got to look at it is Dom's just gone. I mean, so it's not like those goals are not on the field anymore. He's just gone.
Right.
Question is, can Rubio even remotely? No, and let me back up. Dom at his best was what, 22 goals that 1 year? 20.
With taking PKs, yes.
I know. I actually wish that would be a stat that like there's goals and there's PK goals.
I've started to see a lot of different websites and apps that you see. They'll list their thing, and then right underneath it, it'll say how many PK goals.
Because to me, that's just a way to pad stats for certain guys,
Yeah.
but. That was at his best. That was his, when he scored the most goals. And realistically, he's more in the low double digits, 10, 12, 14 kind of number. If Rubio can come in and get six for the rest of the year, that pretty much matches the pace that we could have expected from Dom.
Right, and that doesn't seem that ridiculous of a request. Six goals from him for the rest of the year.
And again, then goal scoring by committee from Blessing, Shallowy, Madranda could put in one that's not already scored by Sooney.
Yeah.
Sooney's been a little bit of a disappointment so far this year.
Yeah, he really has. I've not seen like really anything. Well, he had that one goal that got taken away, and that was a beautiful goal.
He had one really good game from what I understand was the one Minnesota game. And I didn't see it for some reason. That's
Well, was that the game that he had the goal taken away that Jimmy headed it in? They didn't see it. That
Could
he
I
had a
think so?
rocket from distance and it hit off the
Yeah,
crossbar.
I think that. Yeah, I think that was the right one. And yeah, it's kind of a shame he didn't get the goal, but
Well,
at least Jimmy made sure.
when I saw that, I was thinking that was his moment. He saw the ball go in the net. Soon he was gonna be able to, find his groove. But he really, that was like his one moment this year that I've seen.
The next game he played, I thought he was the worst guy on the field for
Yes.
us by far.
Yes.
He has so much talent. He has so much ability. Surprised Dom didn't actually work out that he would go along as part of the trade.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I don't know how comfortable I am with our back line taking on Schweini, but we always seem to, every time I 100%, this is a wash, I'm ready to lose this game. It seems like Sporting KC always win those games. I don't know how, but it always they'll whip something out of nowhere. Someone like Blessing or Shallowy will score a couple goals, and so you never know. MLS is very weird. Chicago is in second place, but also I'm not convinced that the East is all that good beyond them and Toronto. So you never know. And we got the another home match, so.
Sporting does seem to beat the teams that you expect them to really struggle with
Can't beat the teams they should
and
destroy.
draw the teams they should have just wiped away.
Every time.
Amazing how they can do that. I mean, like they should have when they went up to Minnesota, they should have just destroyed Minnesota and they have lost that one 3-0 or whatever it was.
But then they can beat Dallas 3-0.
And with amazing ease. It wasn't easy, but it was entertaining. And losing your best defender and being a man down, in the Open Cup, all that just
Right.
added to the how do you. You never count this team out, but at the same time, it's the such a Jekyll and Hyde team at times that they come up short against teams that they should beat. So yeah, I wouldn't count them out against Chicago, being a home game. To be honest, if somebody like twisted my arm to like make a prediction, I would just say 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'll take a draw. I will be very happy with a draw. And that is at 7 o'clock on Saturday. I'm pretty excited for it. It should be fun. I'm kind of excited to see Schweinsteiger.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, it's the beauty of this league now is you're starting to see some of the best players in the world on their downhill side, but still, he's an amazingly good player.
Yeah, he's still doing some work and looks pretty good there, so.
I will also like say, hey, I thought when Chicago got him, I thought that was useless because they were spending so much money on one spot and
And it wasn't, I know, I was right there too. And then it didn't seem like he was gonna be that big of a name either to like draw. He's not David Villa that like people will flock to the stadium just to get a glimpse of him. I didn't,
well, there's
But
that, and they kind of remade their midfield already with Dax and Janino
It's
or
like, did he
whatever.
fit even? Yeah.
Did they need to do that? Because they already had good players there. Like, why not spend the money on a proven goal scorer or something like that? So,
But it
gotta
has
give them credit.
clearly, yeah, it's clearly worked out. Yeah, 7 o'clock on Saturday. I'm ready for that one. But I think before we go, we've got to talk about we can't ignore Swope Park and their 10 straight games unbeaten, 7 straight wins, and 5 straight shutouts. Beat Seattle Sounders 2 on the weekend. Nancel Sobol had a beautiful goal of the week.
They swept the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, all 9 points on the Pacific Northwest trip. That was wonderful.
They're second in the West right now. Not, I mean, they're a little behind. They're still ways behind first, but they've made a big jump up, and they've done that. It's not just that they've won, but they've done that with having one of the youngest teams in the league, having played a lot of guys, a lot of different
A
guys.
lot of different guys, right?
They've given time to players like Iwasa, Rubio in that stretch. Rubio
EPB was
scored
down there.
a really great goal when he was down there. For me, he's called it a goal scorer's goal because it was just a reaction. He just reached out and punted it in.
Yep, I saw it.
You got Selbel, who's a Sporting Academy product, who's been playing, starting most every game in that stretch.
Yeah, he's been named the team of the week a couple times for USL so far.
Goal of the week a couple
Yeah.
times, and he's a good story about how he wasn't really getting a lot of time last year, and he always showed like these brilliant flashes that he could be amazing, and then just
Yeah, he was relegated to the bench last year in kind of a crowded lineup, but when he would get his chance, he like you said, you'd see his flashes for sure.
I think his biggest issue last year was he was an individual. He tended to like, okay, I'm gonna dribble and dribble and dribble and dribble and
Yes.
not make my pass and not do what the team wants me to. Where this year he's like a 95% team guy. Every once in a while you hear Nikola yell at him like,
Yeah.
"Subtle pass." But I think he's really changed, made a big change, and that's if he continues, man, he's gonna get a look from Sporting to maybe
Yeah.
move up.
Yeah, the goal got named goal of the week this week. It was nice play all around. It was very simple from him, but it was just, the beautiful game, like at its best. Just the right angle of that camera. I think it was just a one touch, just curled right in.
Yeah, that was the, like you said, the perfect camera angle too. Pretty much like it
That's what
just
did it.
curled around. You can see that the keeper made a great move. He made the dive out there, the
Yeah.
jump, and it just curled around his hand and went inside the post.
Yep, the courtesy dive from the keeper that I don't think he had a shot on it, but it made the highlight look good.
If it had less curve on it, he makes the save,
Yeah.
or it goes wide.
Yeah, Swope's very exciting. It looks like like last year they kind of struggled at some point, but have brought it all together here and are climbing the ranks. So maybe we can have another fun finish to their season again.
And for anybody who hasn't watched Swope Park, well, first of all, shame on you. Second,
Shame. Shame.
shame on everybody who is a Sporting fan but isn't out supporting the other soccer in this town.
There you
But
go.
Swope Park, FC KC. But go watch a Swope Park game, and you're watching future of Sporting for some of those players. But you're also watching like a twin of Sporting, how they play. They are possessing the ball. They are attacking. They want to own the ball. They want to control it. Last year, they had one of the best coaches in North America coaching them, Marco Santos, but he tended to not follow the Sporting way quite the same. And then he moved on to San Francisco, and he's kicking butt in San Francisco right now. I think they're in second place in the NASL. Started up another team, doing well. But it was more of a sit back and counter team. Well, that's not exactly how Sporting wants to do it, and
Yeah, it's not just talk from them. The Swope Park Rangers are a model and a farm team, and this is all one club, and you can see it in the way they play, absolutely.
you can see guys like if you took five players off of Sporting tomorrow, you could see five guys from Swope step up and not be as good. I mean, they're not MLS players today.
But understand what is required of them.
But they would be in the right spots. They'd do the right moves. They would make the right runs. They would do all the right stuff because that's the way they've been playing. I think there's three to five guys on Swope right now that could step up, literally step up to play in Sporting next year. I don't know who you'd get rid of, so,
Right, yeah.
but.
Yeah, I'm counting down the days till Kevin O gets his shot with Sporting.
And he hasn't even been as good this
I
year as
know,
he was
yeah.
last year.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys all on the team that are
But I think Musa, Belmar,
Belmar.
Selbel, Parker Mayer are all guys who are under contract to Swope who could, at least in theory, step up and play. And there might be other guys too, don't get me wrong, but I think those are the five guys probably at this point that I would put up there, at least in the contention.
Yeah, if you haven't gone out there, you go to a game, you'll find someone on that team that you really like and will want you'll be requesting on the message boards for him to get his first look with Sporting KC. There's a lot of talent down there. It's a very fun team to watch.
Absolutely.
What else we got? We got anything else? What's FC KC update?
They're struggling. They're struggling mightily at this point. In fact, they still believe in themselves, though. That's the fun thing. I went out to their practice last week, and the game ended up getting stopped because of weather, so they'll replay that game in August 10th or something like that against North Carolina.
Where are they at in the standings?
Ninth.
The bottom?
They're like ninth or tenth.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it wasn't going well. I didn't know it was like
It's,
that.
but it is good that they, I mean, like I said, you went out there and watch them, and they are still loose. They're having fun. It's not, and I don't want to say having fun like they don't care. They're having fun and working hard, and they're getting stuck in practice and stuff too. But they've been hamstrung by injuries and budget constraints for replacing players and stuff like that. I think right now they're technically under the maximum or minimum roster number.
Oh, okay.
I think they only have like 17 players. They got to have at
Oh,
least 18.
good Lord.
And
Well,
then they're going to be missing two players for their next game because they're up with the women's national team
oh
and they're
yeah.
playing right now.
Oh yeah. Well, another thing that while we're on FCKC, do we expect that they're going to be losing one of their star players here before too long, as her husband was recently traded to Florida?
Actually, I talked to their coach Flacco after the Dom trade was announced, and can't remember his exact quote, but he likes Sydney being here. Sydney LaRue was able to get a trade here to be in home with her husband, and immediately got pregnant, so missed last year. This year, this is her first is your first year back after that, and she's trying to get back up to speed and try to get back up to the national team. He's really happy with her, and he doesn't want to see her leave. But in the end, I think if she came to him and said, "Can you work something out to get me to Orlando?" I think he would do absolutely his best to make that happen.
I mean, it seems like a given to me. I see no way that after having this new baby that family's not going to go be together in Orlando.
But the flip side is she's been, it's kind of weird because, again, this is a little behind the scenes from my perspective, is I talked to her a few weeks ago, and this is one of those like articles I like keep meaning to write and I just never got a chance, but asked her, like I said, "How happy are you at this point?" And because she was back playing and she was looking good, and this was FCKC wasn't on their long losing streak or long non-winning streak at that point. And she was just talking about how happy she was. This is the happiest she's been in her life, her and Dom and Cassius and, Dom doing well and her doing well. And this Dom was, wasn't named to the national team at that point. But,
Right.
she just talked about how perfectly happy she was. Well, last week, I said something to her about how are you, must be happy at the Dwyer household, right? With Dom getting up there, and she was getting a second call up, her second call up since having the baby, to the national team, and she was a lot more muted. Like, "Yeah, it's a really great time in our house," and like very down. And I'm like, "What's wrong?" Thought maybe she was having a bad day, or I ticked her off with a question somehow or something. Well, in retrospect, I think she already knew that the trade was probably happening.
Knew she was gone and didn't seem pleased.
So my guess is that
Interesting.
doesn't make her happy that it happened. I think she'd have probably been happier if he re-signed here, because,
It did seem like they enjoyed Kansas City.
and don't get me wrong, they'll probably enjoy anywhere they're together. I don't think, like, I mean, yes, I'm partial to Kansas City, but I think they'll be happy anywhere they are. But just
Yeah.
now it makes it more difficult again, and now
It's an ordeal for sure.
almost every player who comes to Kansas City for FCKC likes playing for Vlatko Andonovski. He's a really good coach, and he makes a family, and they like to play with the ball, and they like to attack, and they like to have fun with the ball. And everybody's like, it's the beautiful game. And when Lauren Holiday was here, and Amy Rodriguez, and all that, everybody loved it. They're struggling right now. They're probably, quite honestly, they're probably the least talented team in the league. They lost so many players after winning the second championship and the World Cup.
She may not have been upset that she was going to have to move, maybe just at the simple fact of like, it's not, even if she can move, which they probably will soon, it's, now Dom is leaving here for the next couple months, and she will be here. So that's understandable.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that she moves this year. You know, it'll be in the off season if it happens.
That's good news for FC KC fans.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting, like, how that works, because, you know, I'm sure the league will help her facilitate a trade in some way, shape, or form. But when she was with Seattle, with one of the teams in Northwest, Seattle or Portland, I forget which now, and she wanted to come to Kansas City, well, they traded her to the East Coast. Said, screw you.
Yep.
You don't want to be here, we'll trade you.
Nice. All right, well, can you think of anything else? Did we miss anything?
The only other team to talk about at the moment would be the Kansas City Comets.
The Comets.
They're going through massive problems.
That is an even worse ordeal than FC KC.
A lot of it stemming from the same problem, though. The previous owners were the same.
Yeah.
And my understanding is the league is going through the process with a ownership group right now. A lot of fans are again worried because they haven't heard any news. And every player was made a free agent last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, you know, they technically have no players.
No players, but they're
ownership. No, nothing.
But the name exists.
The name is still owned by one of the previous owners, but there's the franchise was taken away by the league. But I would put that at a 60-40, 70-30, that the team will be back.
People didn't seem to be all that panicked, so I seem to think that they'll probably come around. The Comets will never leave here.
I think in the worst case, they would take a year hiatus. But I think they'll be back for this year. The problem is they'll lose a few players. You know, some of the players will go free agent.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that all these players are leaving already and they've signed with another team or anything like that, right?
Most of them are so tied to Kansas City. I mean,
yeah, and make most of their money like coaching and things like that. Yeah. Isn't that how a lot of them?
Several of them like run clubs or you know, large youth teams, have clinics and all this other stuff. Second jobs here, like Brian Harris works at a bank here, you know. He could go play for a team, but he couldn't go train for him.
Right.
You know, things That's like true. That. So some of them married, you know, girls from here. They're pretty tied. I think they could lose a few players, but they would still have a core, most likely. As long as the team comes back with this year, they would have the core would still be here. If they don't come back for another year, I think that would be the more issue that some of them might move on to find some money.
Okay. Well, man. We will keep you updated on the Comets situation if you're an indoor soccer fan. But I think we have been rambling probably long enough here. We're up over an hour, so. But this, we tried out something new here. We tried a new format the way we're doing it. Hopefully we can get Mike Kuhn in here at another time, and we'll start adding some interviews with players, hopefully, and things like that in the future. Let us know what you think. We will probably keep doing it anyway, even if you tell us to stop. but yeah, we will.
You can tell us to stop as long as you keep listening.
Yeah, just keep listening. But yes, we all see you, Thad. I will see you on Saturday, right?
I will be there. And we actually, one thing Cody didn't mention earlier is we actually are both writers for thebluetestament.com. Cody's also a contributor for Stars and Stripes FC.
Right. This is being posted on the Blue Testament. I hope that was enough of a clue there, but yes.
It should be pretty obvious, but you know, again, you got to like kind of get the plug in, right?
Like I said, we are trying something new, people. We'll get it down.
We'll get it worked out, but hopefully we'll have a new feature after this weekend's game too. I mean, I don't want to build up too much hype.
Hopefully we can join the video craze because the youngins tell us that's the future. So maybe we'll have some video for you guys. But yes, until then, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a new player and a draw this weekend.
I'm looking for a win, like, you know, 4-1 kind of thing.
Optimist. That's why I like you, Thad.
No, I predict a draw, but I'm looking for a win.
All right. Well, we will see you guys then. Thank you.